When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Dogs. Connor Riley is here. Connor, before we get into the Dogs and Notre Dame, which is what everybody will be talking about, I want to get your opinions on these playoff games. Everybody feels like these teams that got blown out were frauds, like they weren't deserving. How do you feel about the committee's decision to put the teams in because the first round games were duds?
I think in college football every year, there's really probably only six or seven teams that can realistically win a national championship. And I think some of those teams were playing this weekend, and some of those teams that can't win a national championship, even if everything goes right, were playing against some of those teams. Ohio State played their absolute best game of the year. And Tennessee, a team that struggled on the road all year, just was not ready for that level of competition. Clemson, a team that has SEC caliber athletes, just could not match, I think, the physicality that Texas played with. I know a lot of people are going to point to Indiana and they're going to point to SMU, but it was those other teams too that got blown out as well. And for anyone saying that, oh, Alabama should have been in this game, yeah, Alabama also should have beat Oklahoma, an incredibly mediocre football team, and they lost by three touchdowns to that team. Ole Miss should have been in. Sure, you don't lose at home to a Kentucky team where that Ole Miss win was their only SEC win. We have to continue to value the games that are played on the field. I know that the ACC isn't as good as the SEC is. I know that Indiana played a very watered-down Big Ten schedule. But those teams still found ways to win games that were on their schedule. And Alabama and South Carolina and Ole Miss all lost to teams that were not playoff caliber during the regular season. And that's the reason why they were watching Indiana get blown out this weekend.
Connor, before we get to the games themselves, I'm just kind of curious, as we start through this navigation of the 12-team playoff, I already see changes that need to be made. I don't know if they're going to make any, but one, stop with the automatic first-round buys for conference champions. If you're ranked 16th like Clemson was, then you get the 12 seed, that's fine. We don't need to have automatic first-round buys for teams. Boise doesn't deserve a first-round bye. They just don't. That's the reality of the situation. They're not one of the four best teams in the country. And Oregon didn't get rewarded by being the number one seed. They now have the toughest game of any team in this tournament. So that and reseeding, I think, needs to happen. But do we see any changes coming?
Well, it's important to note that this playoff structure, when they agreed upon it, is only set to exist for this season and next season, and they can redo it starting with the 2026 season. And I think with what we've seen so far, I do think that we're headed that way. I think they're going to eventually get to a point where you still have winning the conference championship get you into the college football playoff, but it won't necessarily get right. You that bye. And that's more in line with what the college basketball tournament does. Just because you go on a Cinderella run and say win the Big East tournament, that doesn't mean you should be guaranteed a top three, top four seed in that side of the bracket if you messed around during the regular season. So I do think that we're going to see some changes moving forward in terms of the way that this gets done, which in a way is understandable. This is the first time seeing it play out this way. And we'll, next year as we get another data point in there, I think that's only going to further help. I would, though, fully caution, making all those changes after just this one season. I would advise maybe waiting until after next year's playoff as well, and then implementing those changes, such as reseeding after the first round or, doing away with top four conference championships getting by.
Connor Riley, our guest, guys, he writes for Dog Nation. The big question is, how does this offense change, or does it, with Gunnar Stockton taking over at quarterback? Did Kirby discuss this? What are your thoughts? And because I think it's something Georgia fans are talking about all over the country.
Yeah, I asked Kirby this today, how does Gunnar coming in impact how this run game works? And statistically, you can look at that Texas game. They had 13 non-sack rushing yards in the first half, and Carson Beck was in there at quarterback. They finished that game against Texas with 144 rushing yards. I think his mobility, his willingness to run, opened some things up for Nate Frazier and for Trevor Etienne. But Kirby Smart today, when I asked him about it, said that the offense is what the offense is, and that he feels Carson Beck is a capable athlete, and he feels that Gunnar Stockton is a capable athlete. Now, I believe that much of that is gamesmanship, and I think Marcus Freeman understands that as well. We got a chance to speak to him today. He made it clear that he understands that this sort of offense is probably going to look a little bit different in terms of the way that they go out and do things and the way that they go out and play. I'll be interested in seeing, you know, the Georgia Tech offense, for example, and because a lot of what Buster Faulkner did for the Yellow Jackets stems back to what Todd Monken has been doing and did, and obviously they all work together at the University of Georgia. How does this Georgia offense compare to that where, you know, against Georgia, they ran Haynes King 24 times. I don't know that Georgia's going to be willing to run Gunnar Stockton that often, given just how important he is to this offense and the fact that they don't have to just beat Notre Dame. They have to potentially win multiple playoff games. But I do expect this offense, despite what Kirby Smart said today, to at least look a little bit different and not so reliant on the vertical pass game, in part because that's not a strength right now of Gunnar Stockton that we've seen in-game, and also because his other strength is his legs, his willingness to run, and the physicality in which he runs with.
How much do you count Notre Dame's ability to stop the run and what they're going to factor in for the game plan for Gunnar Stockton? Because clearly, you know, I mean, that's the one thing Notre Dame does really, really well. And if you're going to keep running to a brick wall, eventually the game's going to have to end up in Gunnar Stockton's hands, no?
Right. And the important thing to note with Notre Dame, I think the biggest strength on their team is their secondary and just their ability to be really sticky and handsy in coverage. And look, wide receiver is not a strength for this Georgia team. They lead the country in drops. And so it's going to be really interesting to sort of see, okay, yes, we know that Georgia's going to want to run the ball effectively, lean on Trevor Etienne, lean on Nate Frazier in that regard. But they can, as you point out, Mark, just rely on the running game. And I think they know that they're going to have to get stuff out of Gunnar Stockton, pushing the ball downfield and at least opening things up so that they're not running into crowded boxes time and time again. Though, I think it's important to note Notre Dame loses their best defensive lineman, Riley Mills, leads the team in sacks, tackles for loss, and it's already a Notre Dame front. That isn't huge. That isn't, you know, as big as, say, a Texas was or an Alabama or the Ole Miss front that Georgia saw this season. So I think with the way this thing is trending, this is a game where Georgia's offensive line, you look for them to be a real difference maker.
Yeah, Mills led the Irish in sacks, as you mentioned, and was asked, Marcus Freeman was asked about him, and he said, you can't replace him. You can't replace his leadership. He's a captain. That is a big loss heading into the Sugar Bowl, no doubt for Notre Dame, but nobody's feeling sorry because we've seen Georgia go through their fair share of injuries as well. 8:45 on January 1st in the Sugar Bowl. That's the quarterfinals in New Orleans as the Dogs are trying to reach the national championship again. We're talking with Connor Riley. Connor, speaking of defense, let's talk about that aspect of this game going in against Notre Dame and what you think the Dogs maybe have an advantage, or do they have an advantage in what area?
Yeah, so getting to watch this Notre Dame team really closely on Friday night, I did not come away overly impressed with what I saw. Indiana statistically got a very good defense and made things difficult, but I just don't believe that they really have the athletes, and I use plural there, because Jeremiah Love is a fantastic player. It is a guy that is going to make things difficult for Georgia. But they've seen better offenses, I think, in terms of talent than what Notre Dame will bring to the table. But look, we've seen Georgia struggle this year with mobile quarterbacks, and Riley Leonard, the slippery guy, he's able to run around, make some plays with his leg, over 700 rushing yards on the season, had a rushing touchdown on Friday night. This has been an issue for this Georgia defense all season. If they're facing a guy, a little statuesque like Quinn Ewers is, and is able to get after him in the pass rush, it's a very different game. But with that quarterback run ability, we're going to see how much Georgia has learned from playing a guy like a Jalen Milroe, playing a guy like a Haynes King, and how Notre Dame's ability to move Riley Leonard around and use his legs as a factor, both in extending plays in the pass game and also using him as a designed runner, that's where Notre Dame, I think, tries to create some mismatches in this game, because from a talent standpoint, I think Georgia absolutely has the edge on that side of the ball.
I agree with you. Look, I don't think that game was as lopsided as people do in Indiana Notre Dame. The game literally turned in the first quarter on two plays, the interception and the 98-yard touchdown run, and Indiana was dead in the water. And I don't think Cignetti coached a great game either. But to that end, when you talk about the coaches here, I mean, I think Kirby has a huge advantage over Marcus Freeman, particularly in the offensive side of the ball. Kind of diagnose the chess match between the two.
Yeah, look, this is easily, in my opinion, the biggest game that Marcus Freeman has ever coached in. You know, yes, they coached against Ohio State last year, and they've already played in the playoff game, yes, but Kirby's gone head-to-head against Nick Saban in multiple national championship games.
Yeah.
He's, you know, beating Steve Sarkisian head-to-head twice this season. He's been in big-time games and big-time environments like this. And look, there have been times where Notre Dame, you know, in recent years has come out, but obviously they have the Northern Illinois team or game this season, but this Notre Dame team has improved over the course of the season. But I think with Kirby Smart, with just what he has seen, along with the time off and the chance to really dive in and diagnose this Notre Dame team, I think the coaching edge, the coaching experience here, along with the talent advantage, which in college football, I know so many people like to separate coaching and recruiting. Recruiting is a part of the job of being a college football coach, and Kirby Smart does a better job of that than Marcus Freeman does. So I'm going to be really interested to sort of see how all this plays out when these two teams meet on January 1st in New Orleans.
All right. Of the other games, which one are you looking forward to potentially seeing? Is it Oregon, Ohio State? I mean, what other game in this round that you feel like, all right, that's going to be a really good one?
It's Oregon, Ohio State. Just the talent is there.
Yep.
This is a game that is fitting of being a national championship. I think the fact that it's in the Rose Bowl is going to make it all the better. It was a great game when these two teams met earlier in the season. Ohio State probably just had the best individual performance I think of any team has had all season, seeing that win over Tennessee on Saturday. So it's going to be really interesting. I am intrigued, though. One, this Georgia-Notre Dame game I think is going to be interesting. I don't know how high scoring it's going to be, but I think it's going to be a close game that is going to at least keep people engaged to the end. I'm interested in seeing what Boise State and Penn State looks like on that first game, which is going to be on New Year's Eve, because I think that these are two teams. Boise State has this history, and they played well in that big game against Oregon early this season. And while, yes, I know Penn State blew out SMU, but they had two pick sixes in that game, and the offense didn't really do much, I think, to go out there and inspire confidence. And so I'm going to be interested in seeing what this Boise State team, which is going to have more than a puncher's chance in the Fiesta Bowl, is able to do against the Penn State team. I'm still not 100% sold on.
Of the two double-digit underdogs, Boise State and Arizona State, which one's more likely to pull?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Off the upset.
I would take Boise State in this situation.
Really?
I think the Texas defense is really solid, and that's going to make things difficult for Arizona.
Yeah, but Steve Sarkisian is the coach. Like, that guy has a knack for making games a lot closer than they should be.
James Franklin's the head coach for Penn State.
Well, that's true. I think Arizona State's a more legitimate opponent than Boise is. When you talk about Junies and Joes.
On the offensive side of the ball.
I mean, Camp Scatabo. Scatabo is going to scat all over.
Yeah, but see, this is the problem. And real quick, Connor, because I know you got to run. We got to get out of here. But this is the problem. Zeno's like, oh, they're better than Boise. Why are we automatically dismissing what Boise has done this year?
Because they played in the
West. Yeah, and look, this is a team. They, you know, 37-34 against Oregon.
We all want to hang our head on that one.
Two kickoff returns and a field goal at the end to win that game. And then they win all their other games. Like, I think there is something to be said for that.
All right. Great stuff. Connor, tell the people where they can follow you, man.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. We're going to have a ton of stuff both before Christmas and coming after Christmas. Busy time of the year. And happy holidays to you guys there at 92.9 The Game.
Hey, it's Mark Schler of the Distinct Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Distinct Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.